The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Everyone, welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. Such a very, very good lineup of interesting topics this morning. Information that you can use whether you're 25 or 75. And what are you going to do? You're going to produce a healthy body, a healthy mind, flexibility in your joints, all of the things that we equate with a healthy body, healthy mind. Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning, Janet.
I am just so excited to be talking about the things you have in the lineup today. Where are we going to start?
Well, one of my observations about healthcare in this country is it's based on allowing people to get sick. And
right.
That may seem like an oxymoron because what are you going to treat healthy people?
What a concept.
You know, it's that based on allowing people to get sick and then you can treat them. So is that approach the best approach for people if they want to stay healthy?
My opinion, no, it isn't the best approach. And it's very, very interesting because I'm going to say evolution. And that's what we're talking about here, using forethought, enhancing how your body works. Ultimately, you're able to think ahead and accomplish all kinds of great things while avoiding the disease.
Well, in order to understand why healthcare is the way it is because it's carried out by healthcare professionals. It's carried out by businessmen.
Oh, wow. An important statement that is.
Right. Businessmen or politicians that either run insurance companies or politicians that take their marching orders from the insurance companies. And therefore, they're looking at the bottom line and their bottom line is, you would think, how can we save money? No, their bottom line is, how can we make money?
Right.
And they make money allowing people to get sick and then treating it. That's how they make money.
If we began talking about the medical industry rather than the healthcare industry, I think it would give a very, very clear picture to people that this is a corporate-run industry and the bottom line is the most significant thing in the corporate function.
So here's the problem that faces all of us is that we want to stay healthy. We don't want to be sick. We want to be treated when we get sick, and we want to be made healthy again. And where do we define that point of departure from wellness to illness? And that, I think that's the big debate. When does wellness end and when does illness begin? And I'm going to show you a few examples how wellness ends way before it's being recognized now. And I think that's the problem with healthcare. So when you allow illness to progress to the point of becoming symptomatic, it becomes much more expensive to treat. But that's okay for the medical industry because that's how they make money. Here's an example. There was a report. Came out on Tuesday, and the headline, or it says, even healthy young adults may have hardening of the arteries that can harm their brain health. Well, you don't just get hardening of the arteries in your brain. You get it all over your body, and it's going to affect every organ of your body. But the point here is, they're seeing it in their 40s when they used to think, well, that's only a condition you see later on. Now, hardening of the arteries is associated with, starts off with atherosclerosis, then you have coronary artery disease, then you have stroke and heart attacks. So this is what they're finding. And this was a study done in this country, 900 participants. They all underwent an MRI of the brain to assess their arteries. And they found that among healthy young adults, they saw higher levels of artery stiffness than were expected.
Now, Dr. Slavin, in your office, Institute of Advanced Medicine, you have a test that's covered by insurance that will give people a heads up with regard to that arterial stiffness. Is that right?
Yes. We have a test for that. But, what I'm seeing, I'm seeing a trend where insurance companies are paying for less and less, and they get away with that in two ways. Either they say, well, we don't cover that, or even a better way is they've created such large deductibles for people that they're hesitant to get the test. So just a little heads up here. I'm working on a wellness program, that will make all these tests very affordable for people, although it will not be covered by insurance. But, hey, your insurance isn't covering much anyway these days. You have to think of your insurance, it seems, almost as a catastrophic policy. You have a $5,000 deductible, you're paying these big premiums. You really don't get any coverage until you've spent over $10,000 a year in many cases. This may not be true for Medicare patients, but it's true for the commercial people with commercial insurance. They have these issues to face.
So there are so many tests out there that will give people advance warning about this developing arterial stiffness, and insurance companies aren't, and the physicians, they're not letting the patients know what's available.
Well, the way they approach it is they approve drug treatments, surgical treatments, treatments that make their money in the through the back end, so to speak, and enabling or empowering the healthcare consumer to take better care of the health, and therefore staying healthy and avoiding all these problems, they're not interested in. But this is what I'm interested in helping out people who are interested in taking better care of themselves, getting the information, and then they have a choice. They can take that information, if we find something abnormal, back to their doctor and see if he can do something about it. If you went to your doctor now, though, I would think, and you told me, and I did a test that showed I have increased arterial stiffness, especially at my age, he'll say, well, come back when you have a stroke or a heart attack. Basically,
that takes my breath away, because that's very, very much how mainstream medical approach is functioning these days. So what I talk to my clients about, I tell them all the time that nutrition makes the difference. I tell them all the time that what they're eating, their nutrient status that is very well able to be established, makes an important impact with regard to this subject.
You want to be made aware that maybe you have this problem, and then you can take steps to correct it, and then be retested and say, aha, I've corrected the problem. I've slowed down the process or reversed the process. I've reduced my risk of stroke or heart attack. And this is just one example when it comes to arterial stiffness. Now, arterial stiffness is also associated with high blood pressure.
Right.
So how many people are taking blood pressure medicine? Perhaps if they were told before their blood pressure became elevated to address the issue of arterial stiffness, they could have done something about that.
And before they developed arterial stiffness, if they were aware of the nutrient ratios in their bodies and how well those specific nutrients were functioning, and absolutely minimize the potential for that arterial stiffness to develop.
Now, the conclusion of this study was, and this is a quote, our results emphasize the need for primary and secondary prevention. When do you hear the name word prevention when it comes to healthcare in this country? But they want to prevent vascular stiffness and remodeling as a way to protect the brain and therefore reduce the risk of stroke and heart attack. And this study was published in the journal Stroke, which is a peer-reviewed study. But don't hold your breath for anybody to get on board to, you know, help people before they get sick. That's the whole problem.
Okay, so what I'm thinking, Dr. Slavin, is you're talking about people on board to help others. And when there's the absence of good assistance and support, what you need to do is take control. So people need to be educated, and that's one of the services that Natural Doc Radio provides.
I think if, well, you have to be a student of societies around the world to understand health and disease. And when you look at the way other countries live and have much lower incidence of certain diseases, the so-called diseases of civilization, you know, the diseases of affluency, and you see those countries that don't suffer from those diseases, and those diseases are diabetes, heart disease, even cancer.
Arthritis.
Arthritis is another one. Then you realize that we have been kept in the dark about ways to stay healthy in order that these big medical industrial complex makes lots of money on treating the sick people. We have probably one of the sickest populations. They call it the vertical illness. In other words, you're walking around, you don't look sick, but you're taking tons of medication. And we have one of the sickest populations in the world based on how many medications people are taking. And it can be corrected or prevented if people were given the information that they needed in order to make the right choices, which they're not being told about.
It would be interesting to take a little bit of a poll and ask people, are you a healthy individual? Because many of the people that I speak to, they say, well, all around, I'm a healthy person. And then you look at the number of medications that they're taking, and okay, those medications provide a number that on their test says is okay, but it isn't reflective of health. And that music means it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. Stay tuned, more to come. Have you ever heard of someone going to see the doctor for a checkup or a sore throat or some common complaint, and in that visit they were diagnosed with a much more serious issue? The story I remember is the one about someone taking blood tests before cosmetic surgery, and those blood tests saved the life of the patient by discovering colon cancer. So don't be surprised. Come to Advanced Medical Testing for comprehensive testing to assure wellness. Call 754-216-2332 to schedule an appointment and get the information you need about advanced medical testing, or visit amtcenters.com. That's 754-216-2332. Or amtcenters.com.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via phone, Skype, or email, with the convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at janetcimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m., right here on this station.
And welcome. Welcome back. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we are talking about wellness, a common theme on Natural Doc Radio. So, Dr. Slavin, some very, very interesting research, surprising to me.
Well, here's something that I came across that sort of backs up my own observations when it comes to vitamin D levels and sun exposure. And let's see where this comes from, because, again, this is published information. It was a study done out of Brazil, which is a good place to do this kind of study because people get a lot of tanning in Brazil. So they looked at people, and what they were looking to see was what were their vitamin D levels. So they had a nearly 1,000 males and females between the ages of 13 and 82, and they all had significant daily sun exposure. None routinely used sunscreen or took vitamin D, so that's good. So because we know if you use a sunscreen, you're blocking the rays of the sun.
So. What's flashing across my mind, Dr. Slavin, is George Hamilton. We wonder what his vitamin D level is.
You know... We have liquid vitamin D that you use sublingually. Does it get absorbed through the skin too? Do they recommend rubbing it on the skin?
I have used combinations of vitamin D and castor oil used topically.
I'm just wondering, maybe, George Hamilton, of course, had an artificial tan, but maybe you put some vitamin D in that artificial tan.
Maybe
would improve upon it. So here's what they found. So you had a bunch of men and women not using any sunscreen and not taking vitamin D supplements, and they wanted to see the effect of sun exposure, in other words, tanning, on their vitamin D levels. And they used a Fitzpatrick skin phototype scale, which means that they took into account the underlying skin color and type of the person in the study. So they assessed the response of different skin types to ultraviolet light. So they found generally higher scores indicate darker skin tones and the tendency to tan, not burn. In other words, if you're a very fair skin, you have a greater tendency to burn. If you have an underlying like an olive skin, you can stay on the sun longer. So the researchers compared the participants' sun index scores and skin type with their blood levels of vitamin D. Most of the participants with very high daily exposure to the sun had lower than normal serum vitamin D levels, which is sort of contrary to what everybody would think. Oh, you're out in the sun more, you're going to have higher vitamin D levels.
People say that to me all the time. Well, I'm a golfer, I'm a tennis player, I'm a sports person out by the beach in the ocean, and I tell them that it still is not surprising to me when their vitamin D level is low.
Well, that's been my experience. We'll have patients come in with nice tans, and their vitamin D levels are still low if they're not taking vitamin D. Overall, 72% of the participants were deficient in vitamin D, and they're using the same range that we use here, 30 to 100. If they're deficient, that means they're under 30. We're not even talking about optimum levels. And the other thing was that the lowest levels were found in the older people. So the older you got, the less effective your skin was in converting ultraviolet radiation to vitamin D. So I guess this points out, and by the way, again, published in a peer-reviewed journal back April 2nd.
So this didn't come from Us Magazine or National Enquirer or something like that. This is a peer-reviewed journal.
Let me correct that.
Oh.
The findings were presented at the annual meeting of the Endocrine Society in Boston. Studies presented at meetings are usually considered preliminary until published in a peer-reviewed medical journal.
Okay.
But I think this probably will get published because it's accurate. It's just an observational study. We measured levels. They were out in the sun. Why wouldn't it?
It's what becomes apparent clinically. people see it over and over and over when you are doing a vitamin D blood test and reviewing that with patients.
Well, it's consistent with what we see clinically, so it's information. I think a lot of people are under the notion that if they're out in the sun, they don't have to worry about their vitamin D level. Apparently, they should and have it checked. And it always comes back to testing. You don't know what's really happening unless you do testing.
I think it's important to say, you mentioned optimal levels of vitamin D. When you optimize vitamin D, your risk of a variety of different disease states or diagnosable situations, that risk is reduced. And very, very important to note that one of those risks that is reduced is skin cancer. So, you know, people are out in the sun. They're very concerned about skin cancer. They've been told that they need to use a sunblock, UV blocking substance. And the truth of the matter is that doesn't get you protection.
Now, the original attention to vitamin D started when they, and again, it was observational, where they saw a connection between certain illnesses and where you lived. And by where you live, meaning how far from the equator, the assumption being if you're close to the equator, you are exposed to the sun more. And if you're in the northern latitudes, you have less sun exposure. So what they observed was people in the more northern latitudes, farther from the equator, there was a higher incidence of multiple sclerosis, colon cancer, breast cancer, prostate cancer, and they drew a connection between, in other words, all the other
markers or
components of illness were the same in the groups except for sun exposure. So they said, okay, that must be the important difference as to why there's a lower incidence near the equator of these illnesses versus northern climates, and they assumed that it was the translation was, therefore, the people near the equator had higher vitamin D levels than people further away from the equator, meaning less sun exposure. Now, it would be interesting to do the same study they talked about. So people even near the equator in this study or getting lots of sun still had low vitamin D levels. I wonder how low the people in the northern climates had. The vitamin D levels might even be much lower. But here's something else that came out. Now, this is a completely different study. They looked at 163 people with heart failure. And what they found was, and supplements of vitamin D here, and it's interesting here because they're using both the sun exposure and the vitamin D supplement together, but they're saying that higher levels of vitamin D improve the heart's ability to pump blood around the body. In other words, if you had a weakened heart, how do we know you have a weakened heart? You have a diminished ejection fraction, and you test that with an echocardiogram. And they found that vitamin D actually, if you raise the levels to optimum levels, you improve the function of the heart. Now, the group that did this study, it was presented at a meeting of the American College of Cardiology, and they described the results as stunning. Yeah, stunning, because here you have a vitamin helping. Imagine a vitamin helping somebody be healthier.
It is relatively common, Dr. Slavin, that either the doctors are recommending 50,000 IUs of vitamin D, and unfortunately very often it's vitamin D2, which is not very well utilized by the body for someone who is below 30 in their vitamin D level. And when you think about a nutrient, it doesn't make very much sense to me to have that nutrient delivered in an absolutely huge amount one time a week rather than taking a reasonable amount on a daily basis. The other thing that I'm thinking about with regard to pulling these studies together, the tanning study on vitamin D level, and vitamin D being very, very helpful with regard to maintaining a healthy heart. What about their essential fatty acid status? Because if your essential fatty acids, just what's going around in my mind, if your essential fatty acid status is optimized, supported with really high quality fats, supplemental and diet source fats, your ability to utilize the vitamin D and other fat soluble substances would be enhanced, I would think. And then you factor in the potential for people taking statin class drugs that just entirely negates the ability of the body to use not only the essential fatty acids, but the fat soluble nutrients. So this is such a comprehensive discussion. There are so many different areas of the nutrient status and the interaction within our bodies. And when you take into consideration someone who has maybe some hormonal imbalances, maybe someone who is dealing with a very, very high level of stress, someone who is sleep deprived, someone whose fiber intake is minimized. So all of that individuality, people need to understand their own particular issue. Their own issue makes it possible to arrive at the right approach for them as as an individual.
So we just finished talking about the study showing that people out in the sun aren't raising their vitamin D levels to optimum levels, let alone not even raising them into the normal range. Let's put it that way. Forget about optimal levels. Well, in this study, with improving heart function, the average age of the people in the study were 70. And like many that age, they had low levels of vitamin D even in summer. Now, you see, that's misleading. Like many that age, like many of any age, you know, we are seeing across the board, no matter what age you are, low levels of vitamin D. But they're saying here, of course, as you get older, maybe you spend less time outdoors. Maybe, maybe not. I'm not sure. So they were given, vitamin D's, vitamin D supplements. And they found, they were looking at the ejection fraction. They say that in a healthy adult, the ejection fraction is usually between 60 and 70%. We usually say that above 50% is considered normal. And in this group, they found about a quarter of the blood in the heart was being successfully pumped out. In other words, they had ejection fractions of about 25%. And they found that by taking vitamin D, it increased the ejection fraction to as much as 34%.
So it was, okay, they started at what percentage ejection fraction?
Okay, the people who had the low ejection fractions, about 25%.
To 34%.
4% increase from, yeah.
Just with vitamin D.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What an amazing situation. People...
I just want to say one thing for... This okay. is what they say. This study, I think, comes out of... It wasn't done in this country because we wouldn't do studies like this.
While you're looking...
They say it's cheap. They say vitamin D is cheap as chips, has no side effects, and a stunning improvement on people already on optimal medical therapy. This is the first time anyone has shown something like this in the last 15 years. In other words, they were getting all the drugs, and on top of that, they saw an improvement with vitamin D.
Astonishing information. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. It's time for us to take a break. We'll be right back with more for your good health.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Herbert Slavin and Janet Cimarelli. They're located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill. And you can find them on the web at advancedmedicaltesting.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience. Clean, comfortable and efficient. They guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest prices. They test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. They draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostics, Simulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call them today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I'm here to tell you about Dr. Herb Slavin, the medical director of the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill. The Institute brings the latest natural approaches to health, supported by research. We offer a full range of traditional and holistic treatments. The primary goal of the Institute of Advanced Medicine is to give you, the patient, the information you need to stay healthy and live long. So before you feel sick, before you develop symptoms, come see the team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine. You can call today, 954-748-4991, to learn all about the services offered at the Institute. Services from on-demand to chiropractic, from natural skin solutions to nutrition testing and support. 954-748-4991. You can visit drslavin.com to learn more. And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we're talking about vitamin D and how dramatic an impact it can have on your health and well-being. Dr. Slavin, before the break, you were talking about ejection fraction. Now, how many people would think that they would have a potential for benefiting ejection fraction with a very simple nutrient like vitamin D?
Well, here's the problem. We talked about this wellness program that I'm putting together for people. It will include an echocardiogram, so you can check your ejection fraction. I guarantee your doctor's not going to do it out of, for the fun of it, because the insurance won't pay for it, just for the heck of it. You have to be sick and symptomatic for them to do an echo, and yet you can have abnormal echocardiograms without symptoms. That's the problem with healthcare. Anyway, the other thing in this study about vitamin D improving heart function, the other sign of improved heart function, besides increasing the ejection fraction, meaning it made the heart muscles stronger and it was able to pump out a greater percentage of the blood in the heart chamber, it also showed that the hearts became smaller. You know, one of the signs of a weakening heart is it becomes dilated. They call it a dilated cardiomyopathy. So they found that the hearts became smaller, which means the muscles were becoming stronger.
Wow.
And, they don't have a lot of explanations for all this, because what was making the hearts weak in the first place? They don't, mention whether the people were on statin drugs, because we know that'll weaken the heart muscle. But nevertheless, making sure your vitamin D levels are optimal is helpful in that regard.
One of the things before we move on, Dr. Slavin, just talking about sun exposure, vitamin D levels, and so on, I think that sun exposure may have many far-ranging benefits. And what I'm thinking about is the sun rays going through the eye and potentially making changes with brain chemistry, that people deprived of sunlight have a variety of different symptomatic manifestations because of that deprivation. Most of us here in Florida, when we're outside, walk around with sunglasses on, and you are preventing that visual exposure to sunlight. Very important to understand, maybe 10 minutes a day of not necessarily being in full sunlight. You can be in the shade looking out into a sunny area without your sunglasses. I think critically important for a variety of different reasons, mainly having to do with brain chemistry.
I would agree with that. I would say that the more we deviate from just things that are natural. Now, is wearing sunglasses outdoors natural? I think what Janet said is correct to a point. You don't want to be exposed excessively to light, but for short periods of time, I think it probably is important. Think about this, too. No other animal
wears sunglasses.
Right. And they believe it, and they live outdoors. So I'm sure there's a component to health there. In fact, if you think about how we treat diseases and how it's changed over the years, and they're getting back to that, there's an epidemic of tuberculosis in Africa. And they're getting back to the old way of treating tuberculosis because the disease is becoming resistant to the drugs. What's the old way of treating tuberculosis? Fresh air and sunlight. Right. And, this is what helps the body stay healthy. And, of course, there's no money to be made. You can't sell fresh air and sunlight. That's the problem. And I guess unless you would go to a resort, maybe. I don't know.
Okay, well, there's Dr. Seuss book, something about the Lorax. And in that Dr. Seuss book about the Lorax, yes, the world has become so polluted that you have to buy fresh air. So very important for people to understand. Getting back to basics is very, very supportive of the human body. Getting back to basics gives you this foundational support. And that's kind of one of the approaches that I use on a regular basis with regard to doing nutrition counseling with clients. It has to do with good food, exercise, adequate water intake, interaction with your peers. It is very, very interesting because last week there was an article in one of the publications that I receive, and the concept was that bonding, having healthy relationships with family and friends and coworkers, made a very dramatic difference with regard to how your immune system functioned and your cardiovascular system functions. And I'm going to say very, very much a neurological benefit to that as well. Your brain function is going to be dramatically supported when you have satisfying relationships. Then you think about the importance of sleep and how many of our citizens, how many people struggle to get a good night's sleep, struggle to get to sleep and have uninterrupted hours of sleep. And the neurological benefits of having that high quality sleep while you're dealing with using medications, pharmaceuticals that are fraught with side effects, and the side effects being so detrimental to our overall good health.
I just want to elaborate a little bit, though, on we talked about, the epidemic of tuberculosis, not in this country, but in areas of the world where they don't have good sanitation, the living conditions are very crowded. And they say in India, for example, 2 patients are infected with TB every 3 minutes.
My goodness.
And in cities that are very crowded, like Mumbai, because people are living in cramped space and have poor hygienic conditions, it's a perfect breeding ground for tuberculosis. So I think a few important points they make here is all of us are exposed to lots of different infections, but they don't make us sick. Our immune system takes care of it. Well, how would you know? Well, if you did testing for antibodies, you would see that you have antibodies to a lot of different things. I'll give you a few examples. We test routinely for Mycoplasma pneumonia, which is which is associated with illness if it's if you have a weakened immune system, but you have antibodies too. You check for exposure to yeast. People have antibodies to that. They're not sick from yeast. Cytomegalovirus, Epstein-Barr virus, lots of different infections, and you have antibodies to it. So the key is to keep yourself as healthy as possible.
And one of the ways to do that, critically important, underlying everything we talk about, Dr. Slavin, is antioxidant status. Very, very important for people to understand that they need to be replenishing that antioxidant status on a routine basis.
So in this article, specifically talking about tuberculosis, how do you keep from getting sick with it? Well, nutritious food, adequate sleep, exercise, and leading a life with minimal stress.
I don't know too many people that can answer that question positively.
Go a long way in helping the immune system fight any infection, including tuberculosis. So to deal with it, improve your immunity by including diets rich in antioxidants. What does that mean? At least 4 to 5 servings of fresh fruits and vegetables every day.
No, fresh vegetables and fruits. People, very, very misleading because the phrase is, eat your fruits and vegetables, and it should be eat your vegetables.
But then the advice goes on to say, if you can't get the fresh vegetables and some fruits, then you need to take antioxidants and multivitamins because your body requires that for optimum health. And then, of course, fresh air and sunlight can help prevent TB. So just, again, that was the old approach. Before they had drugs for TB, that's what they used to send you to a, quote, sanatorium, which was basically fresh air and sunlight, and people got better. The problem these days is that people aren't, the drugs are becoming resistant. Tuberculosis, the drugs aren't working as well as they used to. They have multi-drug resistant TB, doesn't respond. So it makes more sense, to take the steps necessary to stay healthy. And that applies to every disease, not just tuberculosis. According to the World Health Organization, because this is a disease that doesn't get much attention, guess it's not sexy or anything.
People think, tuberculosis, we've conquered that. We don't have to worry about it.
So according to the World Health Organization, around 500,000 infants and children will get ill with tuberculosis every year. So 500,000, and 70,000 of them will die. A lot of people dying from a disease we don't even think about in this country. The solution is better nutrition, sleep, exercise, stress management.
Hygiene. When there is lack of environmental, hygienic environment in which to live, that presents a problem. It creates a breeding ground for the tuberculosis.
Jana, when we come back for the break, we'll talk about ways to prevent type 2 diabetes.
Wonderful. And to our listeners, you're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin. We'll be right back after these messages.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. If you're in search of the fountain of youth, if you're trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy, there are 3 main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Through my counseling sessions, I work with clients and manage these 3 areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. I can help you maintain optimal health that will keep you looking and feeling young again. I provide you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. So schedule your appointment today, JanetCimarelli.com. Don't wait, your clock is ticking. Welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and very important information for all of those individuals who may have a diabetic relative, who may see some incidence of diabetes in their family. Let's talk about what might possibly make them more vulnerable to being diagnosed with type 2 diabetes.
And an important distinction has to be made. Type 2 diabetes is not an insulin deficiency condition. It's an insulin resistant condition. Reflects 90% of the people with diabetes. Only 10% of the population with diabetes have the insulin deficient form or insulin dependent form. So 90% is non-insulin dependent, and it is entirely preventable, I would say. In other words, if your insulin resistance is preventable, the question about the other type of diabetes, where you have insulin-dependent diabetes, where your pancreas stops making insulin, it's a whole different topic. And I think a lot less is known about it as well. But here's the key. People with an underactive thyroid are a greater risk of developing type 2 diabetes.
How many people in your practice do you see with underactive thyroids, Dr. Slavin? Is it a pretty common thing?
Well, yes. Extremely common. Even, and here's the problem, they say here, you can have an underactive thyroid even if your thyroid hormone levels are within normal range. I mean, that's a real eye-opener for the medical profession. We, of course, recognize that you can have thyroid problems with normal blood tests.
It's a real eye-opener for many of the patients, because I see so many people and we start to talk about different deficiencies that may be affecting how their thyroid functions, and they say, oh, no, my doctor's tested me, my blood work's all in the normal range.
And the problem is the doctors are adamant about not supporting the thyroid. Oh, you're in the normal range, I can't give you anything. And I see this even from particularly from endocrinologists. You know, they've been trained to let people get sick, because they, and this is across the board, there's no gray zone. It's either black and white. I'll give you an example. Either you have diabetes or you don't have diabetes. You can't have an in-between stage that might be helpful to be prevented. I'll give you another example. You either have adrenal
exhaustion or dysfunction or low function.
I would say low adrenal, like Addison's disease. In other words, where your adrenal glands aren't working at all, but they don't recognize the possibility that you can just have a decrease in adrenal function. You know, it's either it's on or off, but no in between stage. So that's the problem with the way doctors are being treated, because the curriculums are written by the drug companies. Because in the in-between stages of these illnesses, it's not appropriate to prescribe drugs. You see, it all comes back to, again, better nutrition, better lifestyle habits. Like we mentioned earlier with regard to tuberculosis, it's about healthier eating, exercise, getting enough sleep, and stress management. It's always going to come down to that, and nobody is paying any attention to that.
Over and over and over, we see a collection of symptoms that is then named a disease or a syndrome by the medical community. And indeed, that collection of symptoms, if you make lifestyle and dietary adjustments, you make a big difference in the progression.
Now, here's what the study, and by the way, the study was done in Europe. Again, you know, these kind of studies aren't done in this country, because this is not about selling a drug, this study, so why would they do it here? They had 8,500 people, the average age of 65 in the study, and they monitored them for several years. And what were they monitoring? They were looking at their blood sugar levels as well as their thyroid hormone or thyroid function. And they were reevaluated every few years to check on the onset of type 2 diabetes. And they kept records of all this. And so after nearly 8 years, out of the 8,500 people, 1,100 people, it's almost, that's actually more than one out of 10, developed pre-diabetes, and 798 developed full-blown diabetes.
Dr. Slavin, what is something that you can almost guarantee in an individual over the age of 60 that their thyroid function is going to be less efficient? What can you almost guarantee in an individual over the age of 60 that their blood sugar is going to creep up unless from the decade of 30s on they have begun to make adjustments in their diet and removing grains and sugars?
So they found that the low thyroid function increased the risk of developing type 2 diabetes by 13%. That's low thyroid function, not hypothyroidism, just low in range, but low. People who had an underactive thyroid and pre-diabetes were at even greater risk of progressing to type 2 diabetes, 40% increase in that group.
Whoa.
The study could only point to an association between hypothyroidism and diabetes. It said it couldn't prove a cause and effect. That's the problem. They can't see beyond their glasses. I don't understand why they can't see that. So they go on to say, we found it surprising that even people whose thyroid function was in the low normal range had an increased risk of diabetes. They found that surprising. And they say, and this is what they say after all these studies, future studies should investigate whether screening for the treatment of subclinical hypothyroidism is beneficial in subjects at risk of developing diabetes. Well, you can wait a lifetime for them to get around to it, or, you know, you can get a better understanding for yourself because your doctors aren't interested in learning about these kind of things because they're trained. If you're in the range, and by the way, the range is so broad that there are so many people with underactive thyroid. For example, if the range for your free T3, which is the active thyroid hormone, is 2.4 to 3.4, for example. Do you think you can be anywhere within that range and be the same?
And all of those individuals out there who are in range and struggling, consider the benefits of very, very gentle support to your thyroid.
And what would be the harm of giving thyroid support as long as it doesn't create symptoms? The symptoms of too much thyroid would be a little tremor and maybe palpitations or a rapid heart rate, which if dosed properly, you don't get those symptoms.
But I'm going to say, Dr. Slavin, and please smack this down if it is incorrect. Sometimes the symptoms of an arrhythmia, anxiety, tremor, just jitteriness, interruption in sleep patterns, when you add thyroid support incorrectly or overabundant thyroid support, can be the same as when you are dealing with deficiencies to support thyroid function.
That's true.
Oh, okay, so, good. So I didn't get the smackdown.
So some of the symptoms of an overactive thyroid could be the same as an underactive thyroid. So you think of too much thyroid as causing cardiac arrhythmias, but too little thyroid can as well. So how would you diagnose too little thyroid, or let's say you're in the normal range according to your doctor, but you think you might have a thyroid issue? Take your basal body temperature. Before you get out of bed in the morning, if your temperature is below 97.6, there's a possibility you could have a thyroid issue. And then you could look up all the different symptoms associated with thyroid dysfunction. And if you have a bunch of them, it's worthwhile using a trial of some thyroid hormone replacement to see if that helps. Now, I know in the health food stores they sell a lot of supplements that support thyroid health, and that's worth a try too. But if I don't know, Jenna, what's been your experience with those products?
Okay, very, very interesting. One of the things that I do is use an all food source support for Synthroid, because a lot of people come to see me and they're on Synthroid, but they're still not very well balanced. They're still manifesting certain symptoms. And so things like iodine, and it might be just a very, very small amount of iodine. And an endocrinologist, when you talk iodine, they have heart palpitations themselves. And so selenium, iodine, tyrosine, the amino acid, very, very small amounts can be very supportive of the Synthroid. But the Synthroid, there's a whole big discussion on that.
And one of the treatments we have that we use here, pulse electromagnetic field therapy, which improves the flow of energy throughout your body, can sometimes make the hormones you're already making work more effectively than if you didn't address those issues. And we've gotten into why that is, as far as being exposed to so many forms of radiation from light bulbs, from cell phones and things like that, that interfere with how your body functions.
Very important to understand the sources of that interference for thyroid dysfunction. And there are so many people here in South Florida that have escaped the cold weather because they have underactive thyroid function. You've been tuned to Natural Doc Radio. Remember, you can find all of our prior shows on naturaldocradio.com. And Dr. Slavin and I will be back tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Hope to see you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.